rating, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to the Jayhawk Talk podcast, episode 29. We are following, I guess you could call it a football game, the Rice game at Houston. My boy Andrew was there. Saw that game live in person. How was it, man?
I talked to a big supporter today, and he said that I deserved a Purple Heart for making the trek down there and having to endure that I guess it was a football game. It was some sort of athletic contest. Uh-huh. Not quite sure what it was.
Yep.
It kind of looked like a football game, and it had kind of a crowd and kind of a stadium.
Didn't look like much of a crowd.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But I expected better, and I think that the big KU crowd expected a lot better and didn't get it. It was bad news, Kevin.
So talk to me about this big KU crowd.
Well, I mean, I'll give you a little rundown. The game, I think, leading up to it was great. It's down in Houston, so it's hot and muggy. I mean, and humid. I mean, it rained a little bit beforehand, so it made it even more humid. Part of the problem was, and I got to tell you, I was tempted by this a little bit. And before we get into it, I'm going to ask you this question. I get down there Friday night, right? And I realize that I'm seeing all of these Alabama and Texas A&M people in the airport. And then I realize that the Alabama A&M game is in College Station, literally just down the road from Houston. So that's why everybody was in there. Would you, if you had the opportunity to go down there and see the KU Rice game, you know, you run the Jayhawk Talk podcast, you need to watch these games, or you could see Johnny Football play Alabama, what would you do?
I would still go to KU unless, like, you had, like, field passes or, like, really good seats at the A&M game, because those were probably going for, like, $3,000 or $4,000 a piece.
Well, the worst seats on StubHub, like, the best you're going to do way in the nosebleeds, were going for $900.
Crazy.
So, literally, that idea entered my head for about 6 seconds before my dad corrected me and said, yeah, there's no way at this price. And then I said, what's the price? There you go. Should have done the yell-in on Friday night at Texas A&M. I heard it's a crazy deal. They had 50,000 people there. When's the next time KU's going to have a crowd of 50,000? I mean, this was just to their pep rally.
I'm taking next year.
Okay.
I don't think we'll have 50,000 this year, unless we win the next game and the next two games. And maybe we can talk about homecoming, but not feeling good about that. Didn't all those people that were spending $900 know that there was another football contest going on right down the road?
Well, and I watched the game beforehand at a bar in downtown Houston, and everybody was laughing at the little ticker below that said, make sure to catch KU Rice coming up on CBS College Sports. Everybody's like, yeah, right.
Why were they laughing?
I don't know. Priorities for them? Different priorities than what we have. But anyway, ended up going. Rice's stadium is a little misleading. You look on Wikipedia and blah, 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 and you see it's 48,000 capacity, which is pretty big.
Pretty good.
But the actual capacity is probably 75 to 80 because they block off the end zones. They had a Super Bowl there. I think it was Super Bowl VIII, the second Dolphins Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's a big place that can hold a bunch of people, and it feels big. The stands along the sidelines are enormous, and they go back really deep. The second deck, they sell beer, and you can only drink beer on the second deck, and it was mostly KU fans on the second deck drinking the beer.
Hmm.
So just to go to show you what our priorities are.
What was the breakdown in the crowd?
Well, it was probably Rice had more, but it wasn't by much.
Really?
It felt like a high school football game in that on the east side was all KU and on the west side was all Rice. So it felt exactly like a football game where you know, something good happens for Rice, you hear the other side. Something good happens for KU, you hear your own side. And so Rice maybe edges us out a little bit, but not by much. But the, you know, the KU alumni tailgate was great. A lot of people, I think there's a big alumni contingent, and really came out for this game. And so, you know, there's a lot of expectations. You kind of feel it in the air, like, okay, this is going to be a good one. This is where we break the road losing streak. I felt pretty good going into it, just because everything seemed to work in our favor.
You were texting me that you thought it felt like a home game. You felt good about it. Looked like we were going to win. I got those texts.
It felt good. And, you know, the atmosphere was right for finally getting over that hump. But, you know, the atmosphere can be what it is. You still have to execute. And we really didn't. It was, I would say it's very disappointing to watch that game. What did you think? Now you watched it twice. I can give you my perspective from an emotional fan in the stands, not being able to see everything. You watched it twice on TV.
Yeah, I should get the Purple Heart too.
Tell me what you thought.
You know, the first half was okay. The defense looked great. You hold a team to 23 points, you should win the game. I mean, in college football, that's all you can ask your defense to do. I continue to be impressed with our special teams and defense this year. That's the one nice thing that we can kind of take out of it. Our corners are night and day from what they were last year. I remember reading my Rice piece from last year, and our defensive game plan was to let McHarg, or whatever his quarterback's name was, you know, all our cornerbacks were playing like 15 yards off the receiver every play, so they were doing these little 8-yard passes all the way down the field. That did not happen this game. I mean, it was night and day on the defensive side, but offense looked a whole lot like it did last year. Am I crazy?
It really did. Let's do it. Go over it now, just to get it out of the way. Let's go over the box score of this year compared to last year.
Okay.
And yeah. Folks, it's nearly identical. I mean, if you didn't get where we're going by bringing this up, it's nearly identical. Supposedly, we have a better scheme, better players.
All right, I'm going to give you the numbers.
I don't know if that's true.
You tell me whether it is Jake Heaps or Dane Crist. You ready?
Yeah.
Total yards passing, 144.
Crist.
Very good. Jake Heaps at 157, so 13 yards difference. Average pass play, 5.6 yards.
Heaps.
Correct. Crist was 5.1 yards.
Oh, so okay.
Total number of touchdown passes, 1.
Both.
Correct. Total number of interceptions, 2.
Both.
Both. I'm going to give you the completions versus attempts. Let's do attempts. 28 attempts.
Crist.
Both.
Both. Oh.
And completions, 13 of 28.
Heaps.
Heaps. Crist was 16 of 28.
So slightly better.
Literally 16 of 28 versus 13 of 28. 144 versus 157. 5.1, 5.6, 1, and 2. Those could not be closer. I mean,
but I will say this. I don't think that this necessarily needs to be a comparison in skill level between the two.
No, not at all. Not. It's just crazy. It's weird.
But
it's just,
I think it's more of an indicator of offensive production. Yeah. And wherever, whoever's fault it is a lack of offensive production, or kind of, as I've described it before, being stuck in the mud offensive production. Like just you feel slow and like molasses running down a tree. You can't do anything. It's stuck. It's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's what it feels like to watch
it. And I think, whereas last year it was a lot of bad passes, bad schemes, people weren't open. This year, it's still wide receivers not doing wide receiver things, but it's a lot of drops. You know, that seemed to be the biggest thing for us this week was drops. There was a couple times there were some drops that really killed drives, really killed series that, you know, they could have been important, could have been scoring series and kept it going, but you know, abrupt halt.
Yeah, Weiss said today that there were 6 drops and 4 were for third downs. I don't know if that number is accurate or not, but it did feel like there were a bunch. I know Mundine had 2 pretty terrible drops.
Ford had a really terrible third down drop that was right on the money. Those were the two that really stuck out to me, but I'm sure there were more. It felt, you know, I felt a little bit for Jake Heaps because he was actually making some good throws. He was under pressure considerably. I mean, it was, especially in that second half, they decided, hey, you know what? I don't think they can throw the ball very far. We're going to go single coverage and just send some safeties up the middle and keep running some blitzes until they show us they can do it. And it was very reminiscent of last year's game where we saw, you know, we were having some success running the ball in the first half and went to the passing game. It stalled and we let a fourth quarter lead slip away, not unlike we did here. It was a little bit different, obviously, but it felt very similar.
It really did, except it was away and I spent a bunch more money to go to that game than I did go to the one last year. This is the 20th straight road loss that Kansas has suffered. The last road game we won was UTEP 2009. Is that right? That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, a lot's happened since 2009. We should do one of those, you know, what's happened since the last time KU won a road game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fault it for being a road game this time. Everything was in their favor.
Yeah.
In terms of home atmosphere, road, that there was no home field advantage other than maybe they had to sleep in a hotel and didn't have that familiarity. Everything else, it was just a field. There wasn't any loud crowd. There was nothing going on. So, I mean, you can't people read a lot into home field advantage, but you can't do it this time. It's disappointing. It's, you know, we weren't favored to win this game, but it's a barometer game.
Man.
But what I mean by that is how you do in this game is kind of indicative of where your program is. A building program wins this game. If you're getting better, you win this game. If you're not getting any better or you're getting worse, you lose this game. You know, it just goes to show you we're not much better than we were last year and that you and I are absolutely insane for thinking that we could possibly win enough games to go to a bowl game.
Yeah.
I think we got to readjust our expectations. And just try to get a couple other wins here and there. I don't know where they're going to come from, though.
Yeah, let's revisit that later on, because I would like to get your thoughts on that 3.5 line once again. But you said, you know, we're not favored to win that game. You know, it opened up as a pick. It moved to whatever it moved to. 7 points, I think, by the end. But you watch that game, and I mean, I watched it on TV twice. In terms of just, like, personnel, to me, KU had better players.
KU had better players playing against a team in Rice that does nothing well.
No.
I mean, you can't point out to a single thing in the Rice offense or defense or special teams that they were excellent.
Well, except for their kicker, who is an all-world pro.
The kicker had hit that 57-yarder. That was great.
I'm with you.
They did nothing exceptional. Their quarterback was just okay and even didn't play some in the second half. The other guy came in. The defense wasn't great. We just didn't execute. It's not like we're coming up against this, you know, Conference USA buzzsaw that, you know, has a one good running back who's a NFL player, has a quarterback who's very elusive. Like that, none of that was true.
Yeah.
It was just we got beat because we weren't as good.
Did not feel like underdogs watching the game, and yet it turned out the way that Vegas and smart money bet it that way, and they know. What we didn't know at the beginning of the season is that KU doesn't look much better than they did last year. Let's move on to kind of maybe some nuts and bolts of the game. Kansas rushers. We had 4 guys carry the ball for only 23 carries. We passed the ball 28 times, ran the ball only 23 times. Last year, we ran the ball for 35 times, so interesting difference there. The one thing, and this is probably going to be a theme of mine because it's been a theme of mine for 2 years, but I'm never going to give it up. Tony Pearson had 5 touches. five touches, one carry, four catches. He was targeted two more times.
And that's just not enough. If you're going to win games, you got to put the ball in your best player's hands.
Last year, by the way, 19 carries for 120 yards in this game. Tony Pearson.
And that was, I mean, to be fair, Sims didn't play that game.
Correct.
Was suspended.
He had, coincidentally, 19 carries for 109 yards this year.
Sure.
Sims did, so very similar. But what I'm getting at is we heard all freaking offseason about how they want to use Tony Pearson as this Tavon Austin kind of joker piece. They can move around to different spots, utilize his playmaking ability, which we saw obviously work because he had a 70-yard touchdown pass where he threw it 6 yards and used his playmaking ability to run the rest of the way. We had four catches for 95 yards. One of those was 77 yards. So we know it freaking works to get him the ball. We've seen it for 2 years. Why in the world can you ever call plays that don't end up with him having at least more than five freaking touches? I don't get it at all. I mean, it's like, it's a fireable offense. It drives me that nuts.
I mean, you've got to have a concerted effort to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
We can't mess around with some of this other stuff. I mean, at some points during this Charlie Weiss era, he's just kind of said, thrown out the book and said, let's just do what works. Sort of did that this game, but not. He didn't do the things that really worked. And the things that really work are Tony Pearson in space. And that happened once and it worked out really well. But you didn't see it much again.
It's baffling. I mean, I don't understand it. Unless he's hurt or there's some crazy thing going on, there's no excuse for that. And he's the best player on the team. I am willing to throw that out there. I think Heaney's really good, but just as a football player, I mean, maybe not the best player, but the most electric player on the team. Because Sims has an argument too, but you got to get him the ball, man. And we have wide receivers that are dropping the ball. We have wide receivers that can't separate from the defenders. We have an offensive line that can't pass block, and we have a quarterback that's under pressure and has not looked great under pressure. What do you do? Run faster plays, three-step drops, bubble screens, do some stacking of wide receivers for God's sake. All they're doing is this X, Y, and Z. I mean, just like a pro set, we got one guy split out wide, we got our slot, and we got our Z, and that's it. That's all we're doing. I mean, we're running pro-style offense with a bunch of guys who just aren't good enough to do it against a Rice defense who's not any good, by the way. I mean, like, they look pretty good against us. I don't get it. And that's my one thing with Charlie. There's going to be a lot of talk if that continues. I saw that Keegan put out an article. Not a big Keegan fan. He's a nice guy, I think, but he I rarely agree with him. He put out an article that said Charlie needs an offensive coordinator, and I could not agree more.
And I agree. Do you want to do some water cooler talk?
Oh, yeah. You want to do a little water cooler talk? That sounds like I need a drop for that. We got that. Maybe. See, Andrew, how this has to work is I have to do the drops, so I should bring that up.
Well, I'm controlling the show today.
You are, so.
Hey, I'm taking this? Over.
Oh, look at this.
Taking over.
Hey. All right, we have a water cooler drop back. For those longtime listeners, you might recognize the drops. We're going to try to get the drops back. We're bringing the drops back. So water cooler conversation, talking about things that you're going to talk about this week around the water cooler. What do you got, Andrew?
Well, someone brought this up today at work, and I thought it was an interesting question. It was near the water cooler, near the coffee pot. Mm-hmm. So, these are the things that people are going to talk about. The question I pose to you is will we look back at this game as the end of the Charlie Weiss era? What do you think? And I'll rephrase it differently. Is this the game where you lost hope?
For this season, potentially. For Charlie Weiss as a person, I like him. I really like the idea of him as a coach, especially coming off Turner Gill, where we endured that. Weiss is no nonsense. He came in, cleaned up, the recruiting, cleaned up academics, cleaned up strength and conditioning. But you know, he comes out and talks a lot, and when you can't back it up, you look even worse. And he, man, I don't know. I'm not feeling great. I was never completely on board. I really want to be on board. And we've talked about this all last year. You know, we kind of went back and forth a little bit, but if he doesn't win four games this year, Turner Gill will have had a more successful 2-year stint than Charlie Weiss will have.
That's right.
I mean, that's just, and Turner Gill was fired after 2 years. I mean, that's just where we are. He has to win four games this year. I'm not sure there's four wins on this schedule. And when you come in and you talk a bunch of crap about the previous regime and talk a bunch of crap about the pile of crap, and you come in and say, you know, guys off the street can win that many games, and guys down the, you know, down the highway are winning 10 games, why can't we? And then you show up and you do worse, doesn't look good.
And from an objective perspective, just kind of how I've observed, not everyone, but just kind of the people I've been around, I think that there was a lot of people giving the benefit of the doubt to Charlie, you know, starting to say like he's improving, getting his guys in, you know, not necessarily making excuses, but giving him the benefit of the doubt. But I think that that is going to start to erode. That's going to start, or I guess it's going to stop being an excuse.
You know,
I'm not saying that Lawrence, Kansas and the surrounding area, suddenly everyone jumped off the bandwagon, but I'm going to say if this continues, it's going to start dropping like fries is probably appropriate, right?
Yeah. You got a five second rule on the fries, but yeah.
Fries is more probably appropriate for Mangino, but, they're going to start dropping like flies, and, it's going to be a long season, Kevin.
I'm starting to feel the same way. You know, here's the prime example. Dane Crist, previously mentioned Dane Crist, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, Dane Crist, was terrible at KU. I mean, couldn't have been worse. Benched for a guy that probably had no expectation of playing quarterback all year because of all the sunshine that was pumped about Dane Crist. Looked the part, was great in practice. Came out in games and could not do a thing. That guy was on a pro roster for a while. That guy went out on senior bowls and won MVPs. That guy looked really good leading up to his NFL short career, and he was on a roster for a while. He could not do anything for KU, yet someone thought enough of him to put him on an NFL roster for a while and give him a shot. Like, if that's not something against Weiss, I don't know what is. I mean, if you can't get someone like that to do anything, I mean, complete 45% of his passes. I mean, man, and you come in and say that you got this decided schematic advantage and you're this offensive guru and genius, and it doesn't look much better this year. Man, I don't know. I'm not feeling it right now.
Kevin, I got a couple questions for you. Some of them have answers and some of them don't have answers, but I'm just going to throw them out here.
Okay.
If Rice was in the Big 12, how many games would they win?
One.
Who would they beat?
Us.
Okay, just one. So if they were replaced us, it would be zero.
Yes.
Okay. Second question has an answer. If Rice were to up and move, let's say, just picked up the university, picked up all the students, and let's put them in Leota, Kansas. That's where we're putting them.
Okay.
Compared to the other universities, what number would it be in terms of enrollment? Like, it'd be the blank number or the largest enrollment in the state.
Oh, man. I don't know my small school enrollments, but they only had like 3,500 students, right? I mean, my high school was almost that big. The fifth.
It'd be eighth.
Wow.
Right. And you know, insane. Enrollment doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, you know, performance athletically.
Man, it does with football, not basketball, but football. There's got to be some correlation there.
They're the second smallest enrollment in FCS behind Tulsa. And where I found that may be a little outdated, so that may be a little different now.
I'm sure it's close.
It's still close. So Tulsa's the lowest and Rice is second. And you know, they do have some things going for them. You know, the legacy of the Southwest Conference, they kind of have some sort of history. Right. You know, it's in Houston, which is a place that loves football, loves college football. They've got a pretty big stadium. They can kind of sell some history and stuff. But, you know, they don't have what we have in terms of large alumni support. And that's, you know, shown in two ways. One is just there's not many alumni because they don't graduate a lot of people. And two, you know, there wasn't a lot of people at the game. So there's not a tons of people who care about it. So, I mean, they don't have the money that we do. They pay their coach $600,000 a year. We pay Charlie $2.5 million. They can't sell a big conference. They can't sell a lot of TV time to recruits. We can do that. We have all these inherent advantages to some of these schools, and we still lose. What has to happen? It's not like we're not making the effort. You know what I mean? We're doing our part.
No,
we're
I
doing
agree.
The things that a successful program should do, but we run up against these teams like Rice, and they look like the better team.
I think it's real easy. You got to get a good coach. I mean, look down the highway, just like Weiss did. They got a good coach down there. They don't have any trouble winning games. We've got a whole lot more advantages than they do. Talking about the Kansas State Wildcats. I mean, we got the money. We're paying our coach. You could make the argument. Okay, here's another great question for you. I think it's great. You may not. If Snyder were to leave tomorrow and go to another planet. Notice I didn't say like he died. If you were to leave tomorrow and they had to hire a new coach and KU also were to have to do the same thing, which program, and let's say Weiss, you know, somehow the money is equal, or not the money is equal, but we're not paying Weiss, you know, a buyout or whatever. Let's just straight up, both guys are gone, even playing field. Which job is better?
It's close.
Exactly.
And I think that we're they have a newer stadium. You know, they just did that renovation. It's pretty cool.
Doesn't matter.
You know, I'm just talking here, but I mean, we've got some updated facilities. The athletic department has a lot to offer. Lawrence has a lot to offer. So I'd say it's pretty close.
I
mean,
from a
biased perspective, we'd say KU, K-State would say K-State, but it's close.
I don't think it's close. I don't. I truly don't. I think KU is a much better destination for a coach. And here's why. There are no freaking expectations. If you come in and win 5 games in your first year, you are an offensive and defensive genius. If you win 6 games, I mean, even just like occasionally, you're awesome. I mean, 7 games, we'll put a statue up. K-State, following that guy, you got to come in and win or you're going to be gone. And that, I mean, it's like following Bill Self or following Roy Williams. You know, Bill Self was saying his dad told him not to take the job because he had to follow Roy Williams, but he wanted to take it because he liked the challenge. We're going to pay more than K-State will. We're closer to Kansas City. We have better recruiting possibilities. It's a much better gig if you can just sort of win. I mean, just sort of. You don't even have to, like, perennially win.
Hold on, I'm gonna stop you. I thought Dick Vitale was the one who said that.
Maybe it was. I thought it was.
And then, his dad like passive aggressively said,
"Yeah,
you should
you're
go
right.
to KU." Like he said, "Yeah, if you're too scared, then you should go to Illinois or stay at Illinois."
Don't check my facts. Read
his book, bro.
I think I did a long time ago, but anyway, yes, you're right. I think you are right on that. But regardless, you see my point? Like, you don't have to do much. You just have to come in and just be okay. And Weiss is looking like it's going to be worse. I mean, it's just, I don't get it. We're just stuck in the mud. Just like you said, it's such a tough gig being a KU football fan. You know, they pump you up trying to get people to buy tickets. I get it. I want to support the team so bad. I mean, I want to go out and watch a winner so bad. And I think everyone else does too, but it's freaking frustrating.
Let's deal with some of the psychology and some of the aftermath of this. And my question, which is coming up a lot, and a lot of people are like this, and maybe I am a little bit, but do you think it's appropriate to have the mentality or the mindset of just wait till basketball season or when's basketball season, blah, 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 days till late night, you know, after a loss like that?
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it. But not, you know, but I don't blame him, but I hate it. Like, I wish we didn't have to, I guess is what I'm saying. But yeah, we talked about this last year. I mean, I think we had the same conversation about this time, you know, and I think we both landed on the same spot. You know, we don't want to have to do that. I mean, we don't want to have to be that fan base, because it's exactly what every other Big 12 school is telling it, you know, saying about us. But it's kind of true.
I will say this is that we kind of have we've gone through this before a little bit. I mean, you and I have some shared years at KU where we went through this a little bit in the mid Mangino years where it was tough to go. You know, it was tough. No expectations of winning, you know, expectations of getting blown out. But if you stuck with it, if you're the true fan, you were really rewarded in those later Mangino years, especially with Reesing. You know what I mean? If you kept going and go to every game, like, okay, I stuck with this team, I fought with this team, and when they finally put it together, you kind of felt like, you know, you deserved it too. You were part of that team. And so I guess, you know, from a positive note, I'm going to say some positive things.
Yeah. Positive is good. We should probably try to do a little bit of that.
Is that, you know, stick with the team. Kevin, you and I will be out there 11 o'clock Saturday.
We'll be there.
As long as your dog doesn't do something or you don't get sick or blah, blah, blah. But we'll be out there. We'll be tailgating, you know, trying and knowing that it can be done. We've done it before. We've lifted ourselves up out of the gutter. Bottom dweller, and you know, all the way to an Orange Bowl victory. So it can be done. We've done it before. We've just got to stick with this team. You know, we've just spent, you know, how long have we been doing this? 30 minutes. Kind of not trashing the team, but expressing a lot of negativity towards the team. And it's just our emotional reaction to it following this loss. But we're true fans, and we hope everyone else is a true fan too. There's some promise. Jay Keeps knows how to play quarterback. We just got to put the pieces all together. We've got the talent. Just got to get some reps under our belt. Got to get some experience, and hopefully we can put it all together. We know it can be done.
Yeah.
Kevin, please tell me I'm right. Am I right?
Yes.
Please tell me I'm right. I need you to say yes.
Yes. Here's what I think. You and I are both cut similarly from the same cloth, except for one thing. You kind of see, like, I treat my team probably worse than anyone else treats my team, because I want them to win so bad. So I look for negatives, and I want them to be better than, you know, I don't mean not like treat them, but I, you know what I mean? Like I critique my team just as hard as anybody else does. I don't look through, you know, rock chalk glasses. Although I've seen some rock chalk glasses before, you know, with the little thing on the side, the Ray-Bans, those are kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No, you would really like them.
Oh, but why haven't you told me about this before?
Yeah. We'll definitely have a talk about this. But I think you look at it a little bit more positively than I do. And I think we both get to the same spot. We both want them to win so bad. So like, I think it's kind of interesting on this podcast, the way we can talk about games. I probably come out looking a lot more negative than you, but it's not because I'm negative. It's because I just want them to win so bad. And I have not been very happy with what I've seen.
So we've got Louisiana Tech this weekend.
Yeah.
What do you know about Louisiana Tech?
I know that they are from Louisiana.
They're a technical college.
Yeah. At one time or another, they were a technical college. Not unlike Texas Tech was at one point very technical. I know that if Tony Pearson touches the ball 5 times, we're going to lose to them. That's about all I know. I have to be honest, I haven't really looked. But
I know a little bit. Sonny Dykes was their coach, and he went to Cal. So they lost their head coach. They lost a lot of seniors from last year's
Skip
bowl team. They didn't go to a bowl, but they were bowl eligible.
Skip's there right now.
I don't know. Is he Skip Holtz?
Am I crazy? Okay, you keep talking. I'm gonna look that up, because then I'm gonna look like an idiot if that's not true.
I'm googling first.
This is great podcast.
Google Holtz.
Skip Holtz is the current coach of Louisiana Tech University.
You know what? Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
That's a good poll. I think you said it last week. I don't remember. Let's just wrap this up a little bit and talk about some Big 12.
Oh, is this mean you want me to do another drop?
I'm taking over. Man, taking over.
You are hard at. There we go. Y'all ready for this?
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
All right, we're back. What do you got on the Big 12, Andrew?
Well, I didn't really pay attention much this weekend.
You're the one that wanted me to do this drop, and you don't know anything about the Big 12?
I wanted you to say it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see.
No, I did pay attention a little bit. So Thursday night, Texas Tech played TCU. TCU was ranked. Texas Tech, 120-10. So Texas Tech is now ranked. TCU not looking great. There's some controversy at the end of the game. Can I just say, Kevin, the next time I see a guy catch a ball and run into the end zone and drop it before he gets into the end zone, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
Because we've seen that happen three times, both pro and college, the past 2 weeks. Man, touchdowns are precious. You got to – why are you giving the ball up so early? Man. No, if I was a coach, I would make them take the ball and just place it in the middle of the end zone. So that would never happen again.
Yeah.
So anyway, Texas Tech is, you know, we were predicting a win on that. That does not look that good.
Maybe just TCU does.
Yeah, well, maybe. A couple other ones. Texas lost to Ole Miss. Texas is spiraling. Iowa beat Iowa State. Don't care. Oklahoma State beat Lamar. Yeah, by a lot. West Virginia beat Georgia State. Blah, blah, blah. Oklahoma beat Tulsa. And then our pals down the road, down I-70, beat UMass by a bunch. So, uneventful week in the Big 12.
Sounds like it, except for the Rice game, which KU lost.
Yeah, I think we sufficiently covered that one.
Oh, we did? Okay. Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. What do you want to see? What do you got to see to make you feel better versus La Tech? First of all, I assume you have to see a win, right?
Yes. Okay. I think that's it. I think that's all I need to see. Even
you don't
if
care
it's a
how we get there?
No, I think I just need to see a win.
Even if it's 6-3?
As long as we're the 6.
You would be fine with a 6-3 win?
At this point, yes, I would be.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, obviously you want to win. I don't even know what to say. I am not very happy with Charlie Weiss right now. I hope he shows me something that makes me feel better about Charlie Weiss. I want to see a well-called offensive game plan that actually works, that is somewhat even with a little bit more rushes, that incorporates our strengths of our team, which is run blocking and running the ball, and then occasionally taking a shot through play action. I want to see some creativity, just like a little bit of creativity to create space for our wide receivers that can't do it on their own. I want to see a little scheming, getting the ball in the hands of the right people. And I don't want to see drops. Is that too much to ask? Just all of that? Is that just too much? Is that over the top request?
We'll see. 11 o'clock on Saturday. I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be there too.
In the, we won't have the Jayhawk Talk Cabana.
What?
Still come by. No, Parker's doing something.
What?
Yeah, he's bailing.
Anyway. All right.
I have some basketball news. I want to talk some basketball just to restore some sanity to this podcast.
Hang on, I have a basketball drop. I don't really know if that was a basketball drop or not. But I did press a button that said basketball.
So you don't even know what you played?
Well, so it was like a rock jock thing.
Oh, here,
what about
okay.
This?
That works.
Hang on, I got another one. Here we go. This is a good one. All right. Yeah, that's a good one. You're going to like these when you actually can hear them. Fun fact. Little point to the audience. Andrew cannot hear the drops, so I'm just going to play a bunch of stuff.
I'm just pretending they're awesome.
He's going to listen to them later and just decide if it was worth it. Anyway, okay, yeah, I'm done pressing buttons. Go ahead.
Okay, so this weekend, or last Friday, a guy who committed to Louisville by the name of Jaquan Lyle, decommitted, and he's buddies with Cliff Alexander. Now, it's been rumored that Cliff Alexander is a heavy Kansas lean, not necessarily a done deal, but Kansas is certainly among the recruiting people, certainly the favorite. So this guy decommits from Louisville. Cliff Alexander says he's going to play with his bruh, Jaquan Lyle in college.
His bruh?
I think he even said bruh.
Nice.
Or no, he said broski. Yeah, he said broski in a tweet.
I like him already.
So he's like, I'm playing with my broski in college. And then there's this from ESPN, Dave Tellup. He asked the question, is there one school that would be difficult turning down? And answer was, it would probably be Kansas. I like them a lot. And me and assistant coach Jerns Howard, there's some brackets in there, had a relationship with Illinois and also when he was at SMU. So, you know, just in terms of construction of recruiting classes, it could be a package deal with Cliff Alexander and this guy, Jaquan Lyle. And he could be this combo point guard that we've been looking for if we do miss out on someone like Tyus Jones, which, you know, not everyone's optimistic about that. So we could end up with, you know, big man Cliff Alexander, point guard, combo guard, Jaquan Lyle, and then someone like Kelly Oubre. You've kind of got your 1, 3, and 5 big man, swing man, point guard. Be a pretty solid class, Kevin.
Yeah, it would. I would be very happy with that. You know, we're obviously already seeing that Jerns Howard is paying some dividends in the recruiting front. You know, Cliff Alexander wasn't even on the radar for KU, and then Jerns Howard shows up, and next thing you know, Cliff Alexander is a KU lean. Kind of nice to see. You know, we saw this also with Townsy, like when Mario Chalmers was coming. He was kind of following Townsy wherever he went. Maybe we can see the same with Howard here. Certainly nice in the short term anyway, on the recruiting front.
Well, I hope so, and I hope it's more than just this year. I hope he, you know, it seems like he's built a lot of relationships and gets along with these guys a lot. So, you know, hopefully we keep him around for a while and he keeps pulling in these guys. He's, you know, already working out great, you know, having him around.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else to add before we get out of here?
Just keep the faith, Kansas fans. I know that we were pretty rough on the team, but, you know, I think there's a lot of talent on this team. There's a lot of guys, you know, most of the guys I like. I think they're pretty good football players, pretty good dudes. But yeah,
to be fair, I was really just mad at Weiss. But
well, just on everybody. But you know, I like Charlie too. It's just it's not clicking. What if it can click, this team's gonna be better.
we'll take better. That's all you can ask, you know? All we want to see is like consistent improvement. But hey, I got a question for you. Now that we're towards the end here, over under 3.5 wins, do you take the over? Do you take the under?
I can't believe I'm saying this. Over.
Yeah, I got the under. I'm not seeing it. You want to put a bet on it or anything? I
don't know. No.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Really, I just wanted an excuse to use a drop here.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. In fact, I use lots of drops. In fact, I use a little coffee shop drop while you were doing your little basketball soliloquy.
Good.
I hope
it sounded really epic.
Yeah, I don't think epic's the right word. It's it's more like coffee shop piano player.
So I sounded like a beat poet.
Yes, that's exactly what you sounded like. I don't think that's what you're going for, but you know, I think it works for you. Maybe you got a future in that. Hey, one quick question. Do you know what the line is for the game, for this coming game, Louisiana Tech game?
I haven't looked.
Yeah, I haven't either. I imagine it's somewhere around like 8 or 8.5 for KU. What I would just love to see is just a freaking blowout. You know, like score 35 points. Hopefully the defense holds them. Wouldn't it be nice just to see it like a really well-played game, get the people back in the stands, maybe get a little bit more interest in this game. Anyway, that's what I'm hoping for. You got anything to add before we get out of here, Andrew?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Rock Chalk indeed. We will see you guys on Saturday at Memorial Stadium, 11 a.m., early kickoff, blowout win. Anyway, hopefully. We'll catch you then. Rock Chalk. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.